We are the Forsaken. Forsaken.
You're listening to a Corpse Run Radio minicast. Hello, darlings, and welcome to Corpse Run Radio. This is mini episode 18.2. I don't usually do an intro on a mini, but Line of Sight Gaming has graciously agreed to join us on CRR. Woohoo! And we have so many wonderful voices now that I wanted to chime in real quick and let you know at the top of the show who all is here today. We have audio from World of Warcraft themselves, Asmongold, Census, and Hirumaradex, as well as our dedicated and lovely Grand Nagus. Links to our friends' YouTube videos can be found in the show notes at crr.podbean.com, so be sure and check them out because they're even more illuminating when seen, to be sure. To start us off, it's not that often that you find such a helpful guild in-game, but here's an example of one now by Musicita. This song is Anytime, Anywhere, Murder Service.
If you need a life to end, but you can't ask a friend, or doing it would just mess up your hair. To solve all your concerns, you know where you can turn. Anytime, anywhere. Orgrimmar, Stormwind, Northrend, or beyond, we'll find a way to get the killer there. Whether light or dark, we'll always find our mark. Anytime, anywhere. Lost in a hostile land and trying to make a stand, and the odds just really seem unfair. We'll be happy to create some chaos on their plate. Anytime, anywhere. Orcs and humans, dwarves and trolls and elves, we even have some folks who wrestle bears. Whoever you need dead, we can remove their head. Anytime, anywhere. War by any means has always been our creed, and by our motto we will swear. We won't start the fight, but we'll finish it all right. Anytime, anywhere. Need an assassin or a bruiser type, we only charge a modest fare. No matter the demand, we'll usually lend a hand. Anytime, anywhere.
You know, people often ask, why is lore important? The lore, the storytelling of Warcraft is something that we've really tried to work on and hone over the years as an integral part of the fantasy you're playing through. When it catches you, it's something you want to keep coming back to over and over. Warcraft Chronicle is the first in a series of books that attempts to codify and tighten up and clarify the history of Warcraft. The first volume of the Chronicle essentially goes from the creation of the Warcraft universe all the way up until the story of The Last Guardian, which is essentially the story of Warcraft 1. We wanted to create a very distinct look for this book. We asked one of our artists, Peter Lee, if he would step up and do this thing. A lot of the imagery, especially in the early parts of the history or the prehistory of Warcraft, are images of places and things that we've never shown people before. And Pete was just the perfect guy to kind of envision these vistas and these landscapes. What's really fun about doing the Chronicle project is trying to take that holistic audit of like our first ideas all the way to the now. You can read through this thing and go, oh, I get it. I get how this begat this, and then this came from here, and this turn in history happened because of these three things. I never saw that before. In having that top-down, long view of the history of Azeroth, you definitely get that sense that there's a lot of unfinished business and there's a lot of conflicts and evil from, you know, that stirred in the ancient world that may yet come to pass in Warcraft's future.
Welcome to the Warlords of Draenor Looking for Raid Wing Preview Series by Line of Sight Gaming. Our YouTube channel, LOS Gaming Show, is dedicated to making quick tip videos. You can visit by clicking our logo. Today in our line of sight is Hellbreach. Let's ensure the Burning Legion doesn't secure a foothold in this world by breaching the gates and purging the fell corruption that has taken hold.
Within the gates, you'll find the Iron Horde hard at work preparing their siege machines. Once you have cleared the courtyard, Siege Master Martok will come to see what's causing all of the commotion.
Your goal is to defend the ramps and prevent Martok's forces from disabling your cannons before they can successfully break down the reinforced Hellfire door. When you engage, have your DPS focus on her so that she flees from the fight early.
Each tank pick a cannon to defend and gather the adds at the base of the ramp leading up to it. If any of them get by you, they will begin to damage the cannons. Melee DPS will be in charge of interrupting and killing the adds that are launched towards the ramps. Try and be vigilant about interrupting the engineers and fellcasters.
Once the fellcasters reach half health, they begin to cast Metamorphosis, which turns them into a gore-bound terror. The terror will be the biggest threat due to their raid-wide AoE damage. Always switch to them. Ranged DPS, position yourself towards the gap in the debris wall so you can take down the siege equipment quickly as they approach.
When a siege machine is destroyed, they will drop a fellfire munition that needs to be grabbed and taken up the ramp to load one of your cannons. Once you have fired enough shots, you will blast down the gates of the Citadel.
Having escaped the initial assault of the Citadel, Siege Master Martok has found refuge in the masterpiece of Siegecrafter Blackfuse. The Iron Reaver represents a perfect union of goblin engineering and fell energy.
Carefully approach the Iron Reaver from all angles. Leave a space for the tank to safely move to when they are targeted with artillery. Spread out the best you can while still being in range of your healers.
Immolation patches will begin to dot the area and tend to add up fast. Anytime Iron Reaver begins charging an attack and is pointed your way, move quickly. It is either Barrage or Blitz, and both are attacks that you will want to avoid.
Once her power is filled, she will take off into the air. She'll begin coating the ground with fuel and igniting it. DPS during this phase should focus on the bombs that she'll be dropping. An orange swirl will mark their intended location. If a red arrow appears over your head, it means you are the target of her artillery strike. Run away from the group so you limit the amount of damage you do when she launches it toward you. Focus on avoiding her fell-empowered blast, and you'll ensure Martok doesn't escape again.
The Iron Horde were successful in the subjugation of most of the denizens of Draenor. Cormrock was a different story. It wasn't until Gul'dan arrived with his fell power that they were able to subdue the giant.
Cormrock's abilities are determined by which of the three pools he last leapt into. Each time he picks a new color pool, it will give him three charges of that empowerment. Loosely spread to limit the amount of damage from pounding, which he will occasionally use in between his other skills. The orange pool charges him with explosive energy, which will allow him to use explosive runes and explosive burst. The runes will show up on the ground and will need to be walked over by players before they grow and do more damage to the whole raid. Explosive burst is used on Cormrock's current tank. When this happens, it is best to run away from the tank or you will take a considerable burst of damage.
The green pool imbues him with foul energy. Now Cormrock can summon grasping hands on all raid members that will need to be DPS down to free everyone. Also, the tank will be afflicted with Foul Crush, which is a hand that will attempt to crush the life from them if the DPS doesn't free them quickly.
Lastly, the purple pool will splash out waves that will have to be avoided as they crash through the center of the room. The tank will need to deal with SWAT, which Cormrock uses to smash the tank backwards. Position yourself so you get knocked back towards the door leading into the room. The farther you fly, the less damage you take.
The forces guarding the exterior of Hellfire Citadel have been defeated. We have barely set foot into the fortress itself, and the corruption of the Legion's fell power is already evident. This has been Tatva
and Tovo with a Looking for Raid Wing preview by Line of Sight Gaming. If you'd like to see our normal and heroic strategy guides for the Hellbreach bosses, click on any of these links.
Sup y'all, it's me, it's your boy Asmongold, and today I'm going to be showing you guys how to make a pretty good amount of gold each week by killing Lord Kazik on each one of your characters. Now the way this is going to work is whenever you kill Lord Kazik, if you didn't know, he has a chance to drop 705 raid loot, and also on top of that, he has a guaranteed chance to drop Fellblight whenever you kill him on each one of your characters for the first time in the week. The character does have to be level 100, by the way, so don't get any ideas. Now, as you guys can see right there, I killed him and I got 13 Fellblight, and if you guys don't know what that is, it's used for a lot of these new crafting recipes, and so each Fellblight sells for, I'd say, around like 200 gold, 200 to 400 gold, and so, like, I mean, you sell, like, 13 Fellblight for 200 gold, like, that's a lot, okay, and you sell for 400 gold, that's almost twice as much, okay, and so you want to be doing it on each one of these different characters, and my personal advice to you is to go ahead and bring a bonus roll coin so you can get maybe a little bit extra gold, and your first bonus roll coin on each one of your different characters is only 500 Apexis crystals, and so it's not really too big of a deal that I got a little bit more. Now, sometimes you don't get 13 every time. Sometimes you only get 5. But look at that. Sometimes you get the Mark of Supreme Doom. Now, this obviously is a really stupid trinket to have for any other reason except for farming with your alts and like old raid instances. But so look at that. I got Chipped Soul Prism on top of Fellblight. And so you're getting Fellblight every single time. And on top of that, look at that. I got a new trinket for my character here. And look at that. I got another one. I thought I could dual wield them, but they're unique equipped. Sometimes that happens. But how much is that? 40 gold. So I got 40 gold. And so anyway, as you guys can see right there, I'll show you guys. So I did it on all my different characters, and I mailed them all to my warrior. And so you guys will see how much I got here from each different character. So the total amount of Fellblight that I end up with here is 53, and 53 times 260, which is how much I sold them for, is I think somewhere around 13,700 gold. And so this is going to took me about, I would say like a half hour, not half hour, probably a little longer than that, like an hour, under 1 hour to do this. And I've made 13,000 gold. And on top of that, I've also geared up some of my alt characters. And so this is like a win-win-win, you know, like to infinity situation. And so, I mean, you guys know how much I love those. And I want to make sure that everybody knows about this. And I know that this seems like kind of common sense for a lot of people, but some other people don't really think about think about that in like these kind of, I guess, like these same ways. And so I want to make this video and kind of enlighten you guys and, you know, not really enlighten as much as to bring it to your mind that this is an option and this is available for you to do. And so anyway, you can do this once a week with each character that is level 100. If it's not level 100, it doesn't get Fellblight, and so don't really bother. And honestly, guys, that's pretty much all it takes. And you can join a lot of these groups in the pre-made group finder. Just search Kazakh, and you can probably find a group, especially on Tuesdays. And so I guess this video is going to come out on Tuesday, so isn't that convenient. But anyway, guys, that's pretty much all I've got. Thanks for watching, and like, comment, subscribe.
Yo, what's up guys? Census here. And today I'm going to be making an Assassination Rogue PvP guide. I'm going to be going over pretty much everything I go over in all my previous spec guides, you know, talents, glyphs, rotation, stat priorities, and all that good stuff. Now, one thing to note before we get started, in my personal opinion, I think that Assassination is the easiest rogue spec to play out of the three. There's really not much to it, so if you're just starting off as a rogue and you want to check out the class, Assassination is definitely a solid spec to start off with. And with that, let's go ahead and get started. Alright, starting off with talents, the basic cookie cutter Assassination Rogue setup is Subterfuge, Combat Readiness, Elusiveness, Burst of Speed, Internal Bleeding, Mark for Death, and Death from Above. Now of course a lot of these talents can be switched around depending on the comp that you're going up against, and they could be switched around a little bit for your particular playstyle. For example, you could switch out Combat Readiness with Nerve Strike if you come up against a caster comp, or you could switch out Burst of Speed with Shadow Step if you come up against a comp with a Resto Druid, so you could just go ahead and hard switch to him whenever you want without having to worry about him switching to bear form. Alright, moving on to glyphs. The basic cookie cutter glyph setup for Assassination spec is the Glyph of Blind, the Glyph of Energy, and the Glyph of Disappearance. Now the reason why you want to run with the Glyph of Disappearance is because it puts your Vanish on a 1 minute cooldown. So it's kind of like having a defensive Shadow Dance up every minute, which is really useful for offensive and defensive peels. Alright, next up we're going to talk about stat priorities. There are three main stats you want to focus on for Assassination spec. And the main one you want to focus on is Mastery, the second one is Versatility, and the third one is Haste. So ideally, you want to get the Gift of Mastery enchants on your necklace, cape, and rings, and you want to get the Mark of Bleeding Hollow enchants on your daggers. As far as actual gear goes, you can copy everything I have except for my belt and boots. Instead, you want to pick up the Primal Gladiator's Belt of Cruelty and the Primal Gladiator's Boots of Victory. Now the reason why I use the Belt of Prowess and the Boots of Cruelty is because I don't main Assassination, so for the other two rogue specs, Combat and Subtlety, the main stat you want to use over Versatility is Crit, so that's why I have a little bit of a difference right there. But if you plan on maining Assassination, you want to use the Belt of Cruelty and the Boots of Victory to get the most out of Versatility. Now one thing that's pretty obvious, but I feel like I should mention it, Assassination is the only spec where you want to use Deadly Poison and Crippling Poison. For every other rogue spec, you want to use Wound Poison and Crippling Poison. For most of you, this is probably common sense, but I felt like I needed to make that clear. Alright, that's pretty much all there is to it. If you guys have any questions, feel free to leave a comment, and I'll try my best to answer them. And of course, as always, thanks for watching, guys. I'll see you next time.
Coolest spells. What does that even mean? Spells that you use not because they're great or anything, but because they look cool or do something amazing. This list will be totally arbitrary and biased towards classes I play most, but I did try to include some from other classes that I thought were cool. Number 20 on this list will be Chain Lightning. Now, I have kind of a thing for lightning-based spells. Whenever I play a new game, if lightning is available as a magic type, I take it. My fascination with lightning spells comes from the PSP game Star Wars: The Force Unleashed, where one of the main abilities is to just shoot crazy amounts of lightning at people. I can't explain why I like it so much, but I always prefer to be a lightning mage in Skyrim, and it's the reason I chose Falstead as my first hero to play in Heroes of the Storm. That all being said, Lightning Bolt looks super lame. Its old school effect was much better. Number 19 will be Power Word Barrier, because it looks cool. You see, I'm not really going to go into that much detail on the other spells on this list, because the reason most are on here is because they look cool. That's why I have 20 on here instead of the usual 10. Now, number 18 is Moonfire, because it looks cool. Okay, you know what? I'm going to consult Thesaurus and just use words from there. Number 17, Execution Sentence. It looks absolutely marvelous. Just a giant hammer slowly falling down until it explodes. Number 16, Eye of Kilrog, which is very fascinating. A great way for getting footage of mobs close up when Farsight is taking too long to be updated since it can't attack or aggro mobs. Number 15, Bladestorm, because it's just great being a spinning top of destruction, and it looks totally zero cool. Because apparently zero cool is a thing, according to this thesaurus. Number 14, Mutilate. This is just a personal favorite of mine, because when I was a new player, I thought it was awesome how rogues could attack with both daggers at the same time. Very prodigious. Number 13, Summon Abyssal. It's just so whiz-bang how it's the closest thing to actually summoning a meteor in the game, which is always awesome. Number 12, Avenging Wrath, especially with the glyph that gives it more wings. Makes you look like an angel of anger or some fish. Number 11, Halo. Halo has always just looked really cool from the get-go, but it looked a little better in Mist when it was slower. Nowadays, it's pretty fast and goes about its effect quickly, but it still looks visually appealing. Or very stupendous. Now into the top 10. Number 10 will be a spell no longer in the game, and that's Star Shards. Star Shards is 100% the coolest dot ever put in the game, since every time it ticks, it sends down a shard. Star Shards is, sadly, no longer in the game though, and it was a Night Elf Priest racial, because class-specific racials used to be a thing for priests. Number 9, Thunderstorm. I literally made my shaman for the sole purpose of thunderstorming people off the middle of the map in Eye of the Storm. My shaman's name is I Send You Flying, so you know I'm not making this up. It's fun as fuck. Go try it out. Number 8, Rogue Swirly Ball. Now this is on the list not because it's a particular cool looking spell, but more because of the history behind it. Basically, rogues had this ability called Detect Traps, where when they used it, it would allow them to see traps. But Blizzard changed the on-use spell to a passive, which made using the swirly ball animation impossible. Rogues complained and moaned about this change for years, to the point where it was kind of a meme in the WoW community, until Blizzard finally gave it back to rogues in the form of a minor glyph with the same visual and effect in Mist. Number 7, Mist Frost Orb. Frost Orb underwent a few changes in its life cycle since its introduction in Cataclysm. Its first form was super lame, it was just an orb that shot a little mind flame effect at a nearby crap. But in Mist, it underwent a major change into Awesome Land, where it went out, it shot a crap ton of mini frost bolts in a Bladestorm-esque fashion, and was very intimidating and flashing. Nowadays, it looks more like a calm storm of frost. I mean, it still looks pretty cool, but Mist Frost Orb was more wild and crazier, which made it the best Frost Orb. Number 6, Glyph of Inspired Hymn. Specifically the one that worked with Hymn of Hope. Hymn of Hope is, sadly, no longer in the game, and the glyph was introduced in the last patch of Mist, so people only really got to use this combination for one patch. What it did was just gave giant wings to your hymns, which, combined with Hymn of Hope's giant blue volleyball, made it look even cooler. I mean, you can still use the glyph with Divine Hymn, the priest equivalent to Tranquility, but it just doesn't look as cool. Number 5, Army of the Dead. Before Stampede, the only spell in the game where you could summon an army to fight for you. Really made it feel like you were playing the Lich King, especially when it still hit crazy hard and had a 30-minute cooldown. Number 4, Stampede. For most of the same reasons, Army of the Dead is cool. Only Stampede is better because Hunters are obviously the superior class. Number 3, Jade Lightning. At the start of Mist, I had zero interest in leveling a monk. I do not care for melee classes or tanking one bit, and I already had a couple of other healers at max level. But then one day, I saw a monk use his green lightning ability in a low-level BG, and I thought, that is the coolest thing I have ever seen. I need to level a monk right now. And promptly started leveling a monk. Then I got bored because you don't get the spell until like the late level 40s, and I really didn't like playing a melee class. And that's the story of how I almost leveled a monk because of Jade Lightning. Number 2, Eyes of the Beast. Another spell, sadly, no longer in the game, because Blizzard just hates fun. The cool thing about this spell was that it lets you take control of your pet and actually use its abilities and attack. I have fond memories of using it on a cat to sneak into and scout out places in AV without fear of being found out like a rogue, since resing a dead pet was really easy. And finally, the number one coolest spell in Warcraft is Ice Block, because Ice Block is the coolest spell. Get it? Cool. Like in Frozen? Yes, I totally put it number one to make a lame pun. The entire list is arbitrary anyway, as everything is based on subjective opinion. I mean, look at how many pre-spells are on this list. Okay, and that's it for this video. If you think there are any other cool spells that should have been on this list that I forgot to put in the video, go ahead and leave a comment on it for the next 3 years, because you're going to be doing that anyway.
Hello and welcome. Last week I talked about Duskwood, and today I want to talk about an adjacent zone, the zone of Deadwing Pass. Deadwing Pass was, quite a few years ago, considered part of the Red Ridge Mountains. Some speculation goes as far as to say that the area known as Borderlands in Warcraft 1 is what we now know as Deadwing Pass, but eventually it got designated as a zone of itself. What makes this zone so very interesting is the fact that it holds one of the most mysterious buildings in the entire world of Azeroth, which is the Tower of Karazhan. The 10-man dungeon raid that is located inside is one of my favorite raids in the entire game, and most raiders consider it the same thing. I would say that for 90% of the people, Karazhan is at least in the top 3. Karazhan being talked about in a book that is called The Last Guardian, which deals with Khadgar and Medivh being the owner, so to speak, of Karazhan. It was his home, let's put it that way, and Khadgar being his pupil, sent from Dalaran, from the Kirin Tor, to study with Medivh. If you are interested in the lore, I highly suggest that you read The Last Guardian. It really tells the story of Medivh and Khadgar in great detail, and it's very well written. The book is that, just as a side note. Also, one curious fact is that, as far as I know, Deadwing Pass is the only zone in the game with no flight points. So if you want to go there as an Alliance player, there's no big problem. You just fly to Darkshire. If you want to go there as a Horde player, you got a bigger problem. Either you have to go to Gromgol, take the Zeppelin from Orgrimmar, and then make your way by foot. Or what you can do, if you're high enough and you have a mage, you can have that mage open a portal to Stoneheart in the Swamp of Sorrows, and you can ride westward from there. That would probably be the easiest way. Or if you're 58 or above, you can take the portal from the capital city to Blasted Lands and then make your way from there. Back in early development, Blizzard had the intention of making a flight point at an upper part of the Karazhan Tower for people to get closer to it in flight, right next to the back entrance of Karazhan. But for whatever reason, that got dropped, that idea, so this zone got left with no flight point. If you want to go there as a low-level toon, the northern part of the zone is level 55 to 60. If you go down to Karazhan itself, like down the slope, you will find that if you are not, I would say, at least 65, you would find that you get killed quite fast, because down around Karazhan, all the mobs are level 70. Because of the pre-quest you had to do back in the day, where you had to kill a bunch of mobs and do some quests outside of the tower. The Eastern Kingdom's Grandmaster Pet Tamer, Lydia Acost, is located in this zone. She's just behind the entrance to Karazhan, almost up at the graveyard. So if you want to do the pet battling daily, you can do so and get your bag from her. This segment today is going to be a little shorter, since there isn't really much to talk about with the zone except Karazhan, and I don't want to make this segment exclusively about Karazhan, because once I start, I am most likely not going to stop for 20 or 30 minutes, and for a mini cast, that would be quite long, much too long a segment. But again, as I mentioned earlier, if you want to know more about Karazhan, go read the book The Last Guardian. If you want me to talk about Karazhan, let me know about it. Tell me you want to know about Karazhan. There might be an option to talk about it in the upcoming weeks. I can't disclose details about it yet, because it's a project that I have in the works with a couple of friends that we want to start. But again, I'm going to talk about that, and my friends are going to talk about it once it's time to reveal details on it. Just follow my Twitter and I'll be revealing details about it. Let's just say so much. It's a project that I really look forward to, and I wanted to do a thing like this for quite a long time, but the opportunity never arose for me to be part of it. But now finally I have the chance, so I'm going to grab it. I'm looking forward to it, but as I said, more about this in the coming weeks. If you have questions or suggestions, tweet me at GrandNegus1. Write me an email at towerofcommerce@gmail.com. Write into the show, corpserunradio@gmail.com. This has been Grand Negus, Rule of Acquisition, number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Bye, guys.
We are the Forsaken. We will slaughter anyone who stands in our way.